Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio. We've got another great show tonight. I've got Keith Blanchard. He's a spiritual teacher, intuitive speaker, extraterrestrial target, healer of vibrational medicine, radionics, a professional musician, composer, sound engineer, bassist, guitarist, singer, and best-selling author and composer. And Keith was born on November 30th, 1963 in, I guess it's Yuma, I hope I said that right, Louisiana, and had typical middle-class Catholic upbringing. In his early teens, he often entertained himself by pondering the big questions about God and the universe. Little did he know that the day would come when those questions would form the spiritual foundation upon which he would build the rest of his life. In his late 20s, Keith went through a crisis that stripped him of everything he held dear and left him with no choice but to turn inward for answers. This he did, but the peace and stability he so wanted still eluded him. He was 32. Celestial beings began to appear him, sharing glimpses of his future in the world and the world. Not only did they enlighten and guide him, but they instructed him to pass their message on to others so that they too could learn in a higher way and higher way of living. Now in his 40s and living a peaceful, stable life, Keith continues to pursue his passion to both learn and teach about truth. So with that said, I want to bring Keith on the show. Keith, are you with us?
I am. Hi, James.
Hey, thanks for coming on the show.
I appreciate you having me. I've been reviewing a lot of your work, and this is actually a really fantastic moment for me to talk to you and bounce some ideas off each other and share some experiences. I'm excited. Thank you.
Great. Yeah, it sounds like we have a lot in common. It's like a recovering Catholic. I had to go to a Catholic school when I was a kid and got in trouble there quite a bit for asking all the wrong questions, you know. And
right.
And the ET connection as well. So basically, I'd love to get into what really turned you, you know, into this genre, what moved you in this direction?
James, all of my life, as far back as I can remember, there was a fire burning inside of me, and I was a very curious little boy. I wanted answers, and, you know, just what was being supplied to me through Catholicism, parents, and peers, I was just instantly hungry for knowledge and information. I was an altar boy, age of 15. I was seriously thinking of becoming a Catholic priest. And if you knew me, that would be somewhat humorous. My dad puts a guitar in front of me. I lived the lifestyle of a rock musician. I've traveled, I've toured with world-class players. But, you know, when I went to the guitar, I started feeling empty again. It wasn't really the guitar, it was the application, because with that mindset, I thought God and music could not coexist. Spirituality and music were two different beings entirely. And I started dating this girl, and we did that dance for 10 years. And finally, she resolved the relationship, and I found myself on my knees. I was humbled. I was having a dark night of the soul for 2 years. I mean, I was depressed, heart pangs, and I found myself saying this prayer out loud. I need to hear your voice, meaning God. Though I said this prayer for 3 weeks to a month, I don't think it's the length of time that I said it that made what was to happen next transpire. It was my passion, my sincerity, and my first asking. And one night after playing music, I was playing the casino. We did 5 sets, and for a musician, that's a long time for playing. So I'll come home very tired. And the next morning, I was awakened out of my sleep by a voice. Assuming someone was in my house, I sit up in bed, and there's no one there. dismissed it as a dream voice, laid back down, and the voice begins to speak to me again. And at this point, I knew that something was happening. I was thrown back on the bed, my eyes closed, and I found myself standing in the presence of what I can say is God. People ask me the question all the time, James, how do you know that's God you were talking to? I said, well, that question is pretty silly. How can you not know when you're standing in the presence of the absolute? And when this voice would begin to speak, James, it would not only come in the form of an audible sound, be it telepathy, or there was actually an audible tone as well. But I could see what it was saying. I could smell what it was saying. I can taste what it was saying. It was a super conscious experience. It was every place in my proximity. It was everywhere. I knew the molecules in the wall, why they were there, where they come from, where they were going next. And the voice begins to instruct me. Now, when I say instruct me, keep in mind, this experience, James, was not a linear experience. It wasn't thoughts that follow thoughts. This was one impression, and in this impression was everything this presence wanted from me. And basically instructs me to sit on my sofa, press record on my tape player, close my eyes, and let my mouth move. And out came the most far-out material I've ever heard to that very point in my life. And so for 8 years, I shaped the book called The Divine Principle, Anchoring Heaven on Earth, which went bestseller as of last November. But I've been searching for truth and meaning all my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you probably came in for this, and then you really usually don't know it until later, but, you know, it's like we're usually incarnated for these events, and then when they happen, we go, what the heck was that, you know?
And that you say that, before that experience, James, with that voice, I never saw this coming. But as soon as it happened, I always knew it was supposed to.
Yeah, so how'd you feel after that experience? I mean, I know it's totally transforming. And then, I mean, how'd you relate to your life and the outer world after that experience?
Honestly, I was scared. And I don't mean my fear was an active fear. I mean, my fear was, I wasn't scared of the presence nor the message. My fear was, what's going to become of my comfortable life now? The rug of reality was pulled out from under me. And after this experience was done, that day, I didn't know how to feel. It was so high vibrational, I couldn't stop crying. And then sometimes when I was doing these God sessions, if you will, as I would write out every day, I would just go into these two-minute crying spells. And the higher voice, my higher self, whatever term you use for God, shared with me that, Keith, you've never felt this level of energy come into your body. And so crying is a way to burn it off.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that happened with me when I was with the Tibetan Foundation. I had that, the first time when I had the drowning experience, there was just a golden light. There was nothing there. There was no beings, nothing. And the second time I ran into, a golden being with long golden beard and golden, golden hair, golden robes, everything. Just more of an energy being that looked just like what most people would think God would look like, and all I could do was cry. I mean, that's all I could do. I just had tears streaming down my face, and people were asking me what's going on, what's happening, they kept asking me over and over, and I just kept saying no words. That's all I could say is, there's no words for this experience.
And, James, after this, my initial experience happened, it was somewhat difficult for me to speak as well. One, I didn't want to soil the experience. Two, I couldn't find words in my noggin to even describe what was happening. I honestly couldn't. And I felt somewhat that it would be wrong if I would talk, just to speak about anything. Not wrong, but I meant that as a way of describing that. It wouldn't be appropriate to speak right now.
Mm-hmm. Now, were your friends and family and everybody else, how did they take this transition?
My parents, I grew up in South Louisiana. My parents were great parents. Their way was still Catholic back then. And, that's just Keith. That's just how he is. And very lovingly accepting me. The people around me in the immediate proximity of my life at the time, friends, being a musician, you know, James, I don't know about you, but when this happened for me, when I found it okay to speak, I had to tell somebody. I was going to pop. And so I told a couple of friends that I trusted, and eventually over a period of time, word got out that Keith is writing this very far-out book claiming he has conversation with his higher self, da-da-da-da-da. And I've seen people back away and distance themselves, and understandably, and I supported them in their path. And now it's all full circle. Those very people are supportive now. After many, many years coming back around, it's because I play music. I might see them 10 years later, and they're asking me how things are going. The next thing, you know, these are the people buying the work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've noticed that too. With a lot of my friends, because I was in a different world. I was in the world of commercial real estate, and I was living in Orange County, which at the time was about as unspiritual as you can get. It was just a very material world, and I couldn't function anymore. I had to get out of there. I had this ability as a kid. I was very telepathic as a kid and very sensitive, and I blew right back into that old reality. And I would hear what people thought and what they felt and what they were saying, and there were three different levels all coming in at once. And I was just you know, it was just such a manipulative, backstabbing, you know, world. You know, just profit first. I just couldn't handle it anymore. I just said, I gotta get out of here. And you know, it was the best thing I ever did, was to move out of that world and kind of move into a different reality.
What age did your near-death experience, the golden being, take place, James? I mean, how old were you is what I meant to ask.
I think I was about 25.
25.
I won't tell you how old I am now. It'd scare you.
Yeah, but you got all those helpers around you.
Yeah.
James, what do you think of this? Have you seen the video clip of this UFO in Jerusalem that they have three different perspectives of? Have you seen this?
Oh, yeah, I have. Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
Does that to you look like a being versus a ship?
Well, yeah, maybe what I've seen is these ultra-dimensional beings. The way it was moving, it almost seemed like an ultra-dimensional being. It's hard for me to tell, you know, because they're both synonymous, because they, you know, they have their ships, and their ships are not like ours, you know, and then they have the ability to bilocate and do whatever they want. And it was acting more like a being, I thought, like a light being, but, you know, who knows? I haven't even had a chance to look into that, because I just basically landed. I've been in Mexico for 3 weeks, and I looked at the footage, but I haven't really looked into it. But what's your take on that?
I absolutely agree with you. It looks alive. I mean, it looks like a being more so than it does a ship. And though I know this, many ships are alive as well, this truly to me looks like a being. Intuitively, it feels like a being.
Mm-hmm. Because we have these here all the time, and the way it moved, I actually have footage of these orbs coming in and messing around with us, and one came right up to us, and it moved exactly like that one did, kind of back and forth in front of the camera. It moved just like that, and then it's gone, you know, and took off. And I go, wow, that acted just like one of the orbs, which are light beings that we filmed. So. You know, who knows? You know, I'm not, but it was probably, to me, it was some kind of an ultra dimensional experience, you know, unfolding there.
I got a big kick out of that. A friend of mine named Judy sent that to me, and I just got a biggest kick. It's one of the more funner videos I've seen in a while. But I've watched your stuff, and wow, guy, this happens in your backyard.
Yeah. I'm glad. It was so nice. I got home and got up. Oh, I think it was about 6:30 in the morning this morning. It was still dark out, you know, pretty dark. And it was before 6. I think it was about 20 after. And I walked outside and I looked up, big old UFO flying right over us, you know, and you know, it looked was bigger than Venus, you know, or bigger than a planet. It was just huge. Went flying right overhead, and I went, thank you. You know, it was like a nice little welcome home. And while we're in Mexico, too, now this is ironic. This is hilarious because I ran into these people I knew, and one person, we call her Annie. She has Annie Banana or whatever. She has a store down there, and Mary Pat and some other people were down there. And it was nice. And we're all talking about this one group. I was talking about UFOs. I met them, and we're all talking, and they go, what do you do? And then I told them, you know, what I did. And, you know, there were some real conservative people in the group. So I just said, okay, you know, that was interesting. I go, I didn't know why I was telling them all this stuff. And I felt really good about it. And then the next day I run into them. And right after I talked to them, they walked off. And they were having their conversation about it. And they're standing on the beach. And this huge ship came flying right in off the beach, right towards them. And it was like, it looked like a giant fireball coming right at him. And all of a sudden it split into two. And there was a greenish blue, two objects came up and just sat and parked there. And so I thought it was hilarious how it's almost like somebody was listening to our conversation or they put on a little appearance just for that group.
James, would you say this has been happening to you since you were younger, and it's just now that you're older that it was in your conscious frame of reference? Because when I was a kid, this was happening to me. I would, 8 years old, I would wake up in my backyard. Now, I'm 8, 9, 10 years old, waking up in my backyard. My backyard was quite large. And the last thing an 8-year-old, 9-year-old kid wants to do now is be in the backyard when it's pitch black and whatever boogeyman he believes in and big dogs. Mm-hmm. And often I would find myself in the backyard, coming to a state of awareness, propping up a cinder block so I can be tall enough to lunge myself to a bedroom window. And I did this quite often and never knew why I was doing this. At about the age of 32, I was watching the Discovery Channel on some UFO alien program, and I started having what I believe to be a full, total conscious recall. The beings, which what race of beings, why they were coming to manipulate my energy system so I can have that particular event in 1996 unfold. So this has been with me since I was a kid. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah, very, very similar. So what can you relay some of the experiences you had as a kid? Or do you have memory?
No, I have memory of the fact of the matter, but I don't remember any of the conversations till I got later on in life, the experiences that started happening later in life. For example, I'm sleeping one night, and I come to a state of full-blown awareness, and there's a spirit guide next to me because I see him peripherally. I can't look directly at him because he's not there. But if I turn my head away, I can see him there. And the feeling that came over me, James, when I was aboard this craft was a celebratory, a graduation, congratulations kind of feeling. Keith, you've been a good participant, a very good boy all these years. Pat on the back, pat on the back. Your reward is to meet those in charge. And he said, meet this particular being. I think his name might have been Cheops. Mm-hmm. Out of the door on the right, this 5'7", very feminine energy, dressed all in earth tones. I'm not sure if he had hair or headdress, but everything was earth tones. And I can feel the power and the authority come off of this being. And he says, now I want you to meet the head guy. And he came out of the door on the left, and they looked identical. But the energy was night and day between them. He was the head guy, and he told me his name was Enoch.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the first experiences I've had. I wake up to find a bloody nose, some of the, you know, the normal phenomena that happens. When I was teaching a spiritual class in 98, 99, a friend of mine by the name of Laura comes up to me and says, Keith, do you want to meet an extraterrestrial? And knowing Laura, she was being goofy. And she was being goofy, but that she was very serious. And I knew it. She said, follow me, Keith. And so I'm walking outside of the facility where I was teaching this class. And I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know, expect a little green man to jump out from behind the wall. I honestly didn't. And she walks me up to this 5'1" woman. And I didn't, the person stuck its hand out and said, "Hello, how you doing?" And I won't use his name out of him asking me not to. I'll just call him Chuck, Chuck the alien. And James, I'm telling you, when this man, well, 5'1" woman, but the energy that spoke through this person was very robust, very, very big, very foreign, very, very alien, to use a word, foreign intellect. Yeah. And I'm sitting here, and believe me, I can see. I can see. And it took me back, and I didn't know, I was speechless. And the being, Chuck, said, "Can I help you?" He says, "What do you want from me?" I said, "What?" He says, "What do you want from me?" I said, "I don't understand." He says, "Everybody wants something." And so as time goes by, we befriended each other. And I'm starting to really, really believe that this is very authentic. What is happening before me is very, very real. And though I knew it to be possible, but that is happening to you blatantly in front of your face in a very physical way, day in and day out when you hang around this person. My level of conviction was shooting through the roof. And so after we developed a level of trust, he comes over one day, she gets out the way, he comes in, and he says, "Keith, I've been promising to take you on a journey. If you want, right now is the moment. Do you want?" I said, "Absolutely." He goes, "Lay back. Give me your right hand, and what I want you to do, Keith, is nothing. Do nothing at all whatsoever. Relax." And James, he starts pulling on my arm, tugging on it. And everything I know as me starts leaving my body through my arm, the one that he's pulling on. And I get out about 5 or 6 feet. And he lets go and he says, "What's the matter?" I said, "I'm trying to figure out what to do and not do to make this happen." He goes, "That's your problem. You're getting in the way, Keith. Get out the way." And so he starts pulling again. And this pull lasted about 8 to 10 seconds. And I get out about 15 feet. And he lets go again. I said, "What's the problem?" He goes, "Well, Keith, I cannot violate your free will. Some part of you is still holding on, and I'm just not going to pry you out like that." And he said, "But did you see anything while you were out?" I said, "Yes, I did." He said, "What did you see?" I said, "I saw your ship. It's 27. And there was a knowing involved as well, which is really, really strange. It was like encrypted behind the visuals of what I was seeing. It was 27,000 light years away on the planetary station. I saw a bio on this being. He is considered a galactic police officer. He roams the galaxy policing it, keeping the riffraff out as if a cop would a neighborhood. And so I've had these experiences with this being for a period of about 5 years.
Boy, he'd have his work cut out here on Earth, wouldn't he?
He was actually, he reported that he was actually targeted coming in to this dimension, that the Star Wars program fired upon him. It was actually a big deal across the news a while back. Maybe you heard about that, and if you did, it was him.
Yeah, I know they've done, they're putting all kinds of crazy stuff up there, and it's not aimed at the Earth, it's aimed away from Earth. So, you know, they're playing around with toys they shouldn't be. I always feel like, you know, it's like going after a lion with a pea shooter. Eventually you're going to piss it off, you know. it's not a good idea.
No, not at all. Are you familiar
with that
the
military intelligence, you know?
I'm sorry?
That's that military intelligence, you know. Yeah, let's go fire on a being that is, you know, thousands if not millions of years ahead of us in evolution with the ability to turn the planet into a cinder if they wanted to and see if we can shoot them down and then steal their technology so we can use it in our own war industry. But, there's no intelligence in that whatsoever, but that's how they function, unfortunately.
Right. Have you ever heard of a group of beings called the Clarions?
I have, actually.
I never have until a month ago, James. I was, I guess I do all traveling, meeting these beings, or they're targeting me for whatever reasons. Just to say hi. These Clarions yanked me out. I'm in a ship. They started talking, They said, we're going to put a nonverbal device on your head so you don't have to talk, so you can be a part of this conversation. And they told me that they were looking for something inside of a person. They were searching, and they had narrowed it down to me. But when I got aboard the craft, they realized it was not me. And the next person that they were going to move on to was my first cousin's girlfriend. Mm. And so I never heard of such a being. So being that this is a little more in your field, just curious to know if you've heard of any particular race of being called the Clarions.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, they're beautiful people. Very, very enlightened. Now, the ones that I've met, when I saw a picture, I know, let me think of her name. It'll come to me. She has photographs. There's a guy that's having contact with them in, I believe, Mexico. And he has photographs. Paula Harris. If you go to Paula Harris's site, there's pictures of the Clarions. And what was strange is they were contacting me, and I didn't know who they were. And I thought a female was contacting me, and I thought she was a little girl. You know, I just thought she was a little girl, but there was something about her that was, you know, she was very wise beyond her years. And when I looked at her, you know, she just looked like a very young woman, you know, a little girl, very kind of small too, not real tall, you know, maybe 5 feet at the most or so. But they have a field around them, an energy around them, and they look different, very sweet, you know, just real sweet beings. You know, when I found out later that she was, you know, much older than I thought she was, and this same thing happened with one of the Pleiadians that I was working with. I found out that she was, I mean, she looked 25, but she turned out to be about 430 in her time. You know, in her time, as timeline, you might say, but and then she told me she was coming from 2 million years from the future, that she was coming back in time, and she was 430 years old on her timeline. You know, so
wow,
it's quite interesting. You know, some of these beings, but there's been so many beings that I've connected with. The ones I'm really fascinated with lately are the felines, the ones coming from Sirius.
I saw some of your videos with the woman feline.
Yeah. Yeah, they're, I'm just fascinated with them. They're, you know, they're so loving and so powerful. And, you know, I thought I was going nuts after having that experience. And then I found out, you know, they're all throughout history. You know, they called them Narsringa,
yeah,
you know, over in India. And they called them, you know, Sekhmet was in Egypt, but they've been around forever, and they're benevolent protectors.
What was the name of this person, the website, the Clarions? What was their first name?
Oh, Paula Harris.
Paula Hera?
Yeah, Harris.
Okay.
And, yeah, there's actually photographs of the Clarions on there. She was up here at the ranch doing a presentation when I saw the photograph, I went, oh, my God, you know, like that's who those beings were. And, you know, what's funny is that you meet these beings, and you have to be careful not to project your, you know, program onto them or your belief structure, because they're totally different. You know, you know, they're so beautiful and sweet you know, but there's a very ancient being in there, or an extremely advanced, very knowledgeable being in there. So I had another experience once when I saw a real small guy, and I looked at him and I go, what a cute little guy, because there's two huge beings standing next to him. And then he looked at me and I got a headache you wouldn't believe. And I found out he was the leader, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
So, there's kind of some ethics or whatever. Not, I don't know what ethics, but there's another word for that. But there's things we have to learn when we go experiencing all these other races. You know, just to master that loving detachment, you know, when you connect with them without any agenda.
I was looking at your work, the books that you've written, Becoming Gods. Mm-hmm. And like you said, I think you and I have so much in common. I would love to get a copy of that book from you, sir. However, I need to. Yeah. Is it in any store? Can I just pick it up anywhere?
The best place to get it is on the website.
Okay. Okay.
We did have it in some of the other places, but we were sending it out to all the stores, but we decided just make it available through the website, just because of the costs involved and everything else. It's both of them, actually all three books are bestsellers now, so
wonderful.
They just sell themselves. But yeah, we can set something up for you. We'll shoot you
wonderful.
The copy of those. But yeah, the first book is Reunion with Source, and the other one called is Becoming Gods. But it, you know, it's on the premise that everything is God. That, you know, if everyone goes, why do you say becoming gods? That's either blasphemous or it's ignorant. And I said, well, we're coming into the awareness that everything is one, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's, but, you know, I had to have a title on it. but anyway, you know, I'd love to go talk about some of the other beings that you've had contact with and basically what are their messages?
Well, I did when, let's see, about 95, 96, a Palladian girl, I guess you can say girl, she looked young to me, her name was Beck, B-E-Q is how she spelled it. She came to me about 10 times, but she really didn't impart information. She was more like playful, more like as if she was spiritually tickling me.
Yeah, that's them.
Pardon me?
That's them. They're real giddy. They're very, their energy is real playful and really, and real giddy. You know, it's, when they come here and fly over the group, everybody starts getting real giddy, you know, really up. And they're real playful energy.
You know, I always remember hanging out with these beings. There's never really a lot that's said directly to me like, hey, Keith, we're going to give you a piece of information that you can go ahead and start passing to people that we said. It's never usually that way for me. It's like I'm there for the purpose of being shifted. And when I wake up in the morning, I feel pregnant with information versus being told something.
Yeah.
So I don't really say this came from them because I didn't actually see their mouth move or them see them project this thought into my head. So, but it's always, it seems like it's always about tuning me up.
Yeah, they do these downloads. A lot of people hear that ringing in their ear, really high frequency ringing, and that's information going straight into your subconscious. It's communication happening, and when that happens, look around. You know, there may be a ship hanging out.
I've been actually trying to speak to Kazikiel for this past week. My nightly meditation before sleep, I called upon the being often.
Have you had any success yet? Or?
Not yet. I mean, maybe I am. And who knows, he might have hooked you and I up. I don't know. But as far as this week and having the evidence and saying, he just chimed in and said hello. No, I haven't seen anything just yet.
Yeah, he's, you'll find it just a big shit-eating grin on your face when he comes in. they call him the God. I asked the Andromedans when I first was awakening, you know, I said, well, what is my purpose here? You know, what's this all about? And they said, you're a teacher. And I said, a teacher for what? You know, and they said, you're a teacher for the God of, you know, God of eternal bliss is what they called him. And I go, who's that? And they said, Kazikiel. So, you know, these Andromedan beings, which are mythologically known as archangels, they're 8 to 10 feet tall and they have magnetized light beams. We're holding Kazikiel in high regard. So I said, oh, I guess he's, I guess that's what it's about. And he's the one that I saw with the golden hair. He had long golden hair, golden beard, robes, and all flowed in together. And he was sitting on a, looked like a throne almost, like a chair, and he was just stroking his beard, staring at me. That was the first time I saw him, and laughing. He was just pure bliss, you know. And you know, when I experienced him, I was just going, oh my God, you know, this is like, and you know, same thing. Everything was transferred almost instantaneously. There weren't like words or anything else, just more like symbols.
Is this during sleep states of consciousness, or is this in a meditation, or is this full wide awake, or? How does this usually happen?
This was the first one that happened. Well, my first experience was a drowning that just, I went through the tunnel and went into the plane of bliss. The second experience was kind of like a white light experience where he took me, you know, out of my body. And then, you know, I was just standing before him, and he had a pillar, two little pillars in front of him. And one was a golden bow and arrow, and the other one was a book with empty pages on it. And it took me a long time to figure out what the arrow was about, you know, the golden arrow, you know, the book I figured out right now, because the Andromedans told me that I was supposed to write his book, you know, and that's what the information coming through the other books are coming from, Ezekiel. It was pretty interesting. And then the other time I experienced him is he came in. I was going through a lot of kind of emotional turmoil. I was breaking up in a relationship and not sure where I was going or what I wanted to do or anything. And then next thing you know, he just pulls me out of my body. And I found myself way, way out in space somewhere. And I look back and the earth is like a pinhead now. You know, I saw it getting smaller and smaller as I was going out. And earth is just a pinhead, you know. And he goes, this is who you are and there's your problems, you know. So when I came back, I didn't have any problems anymore. I mean, I couldn't even relate to them and they all just fell away. But that, you know, that's what I realized through this whole experience, is that we're these vast beings that are trapped in this physical body, and this body and this personality is not who we are, and all these problems that we're experiencing are just, they're not real in a way, you know. They seem real, but you know, that we're just so much further beyond these problems that we can solve them very easily once we access that.
Yeah, I have, for a period of years, James, I'd say since 97, I was introduced to the presence of a holy man on the planet by the name of Sathya Sai Baba, and my life changed. I mean, it changed again. It went up another rung on the ladder. He started coming to me in dreams, and he invites me. In this dream experience, he goes, Keith, I want you to come to India to see me. And I'm using my logical mind. Wonderful. How will I get there? When will I go? Where will I get the money? How am I going to put this all together? And he says, you need to just let this go, Keith. So a week later, James, I get a phone call from someone I never met. Hi, Keith. My name is Debbie. We have a mutual friend. I heard through the grapevine that you want to go to India. And I said, I sure do. She says, well, today's your lucky day. She said, I'm a flight attendant and I got some companion passes for the year that are about to expire. And I would hate that to happen knowing that you want to go see a holy man in India.
Yeah.
So I jump aboard this big old plane and I stay there for 2 weeks. And I see Sai Baba quite often. And he talk about plays. He constantly plays with you. And he will take things to a very serious level. He will on purpose put you in a pickle. And when I say he, I don't mean as if I don't have control of my own reality. But as a teacher who I do invite in my life, he does step in and say, okay, you asked, here we go.
There seems to be a lot of very enlightened beings on the planet right now for these shifts. I wanted to get more into some of the other beings. I know you had some Pleiadians appear to you. Have you had any other beings pop in on...
Years ago, a group would come in every so often. I think they were called the Pixies.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with a group of beings called the Pixies?
I've heard of them. I've heard somebody else was talking about them. I haven't met them, but that will sound like they're from the inner earth or the elf kingdom or something. But
I'm agreeing with that. Absolutely. I don't think they're from above, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was hanging around Chuck for 5-7 years. And this being was a gray. His father was a king, Egyptian king. His mother was a gray. He was presently, at that time, he was 4,720 years old. Their technology is in such a way that if you die, provided you don't get your head cut off, they can rejuvenate your life half the length of that time. And when you die again, they can rejuvenate your body half of that time. After which, when you die for fourth time, you are spent. You just completely ascend to some other reality altogether.
Yeah, boy, if you didn't ascend or wake up in that amount of time, there's something wrong with the picture. You can imagine the vastness.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding.
Yeah.
But I've seen, you know, James, I was always ending up on ships, and sometimes we would have a brief conversation, but it was never about, hi, we are the so-and-sos. And they would give me information. They'd put me back in my body and say, now go spread the good word. It was really never that way for me. It's just more or less I was like invited by a friend of a friend to go hang out with some people who live down the street kind of thing.
Uh-huh. You know, I had one experience, and I remember it vividly, where I was walking with this very tall master, and we went and stood before a panel. And this panel of beings, I looked up, and there were masters on this panel. I think there was at least 12 or more of them. I'm not sure. I didn't really do a head count. But some of them were very well-known masters, like Jesus and Babaji and some of the others. And some of them had blue skin, and some were definitely not of Earth. You know, they were something, you know, pretty out of the ordinary. And I go, now this is interesting, you know, And so I stood there next to with this this master being, and kind of was given these orders, you might say, or you know, some agreement that I made to do, and for the life of me, I have no idea what that is. I still don't. I think I'm doing it. I think I'm just naturally doing it, but you know, nobody gave me the manual there or let me come back with anything that. But you know, I'm wondering, you know, after experiencing that, I'm just wondering how many people have stood before these panels or have made agreements before incarnating, and you know, had everything laid out for them, and that are just here now, floundering around, going, I know there's something I was supposed to do, but what was that? You know,
right? It feels that way for me. In fact, I'm working on a book now called, I'm calling it An Act of God, Double Entendre, but the subtitle would be Following the Divine Script. I believe my life had a script and that I'm following it, hence the reason I have happiness and joy and peace in my life, because I'm adhering to what was the track that was laid down for myself. Now, mind you, early in my life, when I was in this 10-year relationship and before, just being a kid, you know, I didn't have a greater self-awareness like I do now of myself. And life was painful. You know, I was full of ego and lots of issues in my life. Of course, I wasn't following the script. I was not finding a way to the higher planes of bliss, as you would call it. I was not bringing that into my daily life. Now, like I said, when I had that waking up experience with the voice and the full-blown apparition, it's like I knew it was always supposed to happen from that moment forth. It was either going to do it by me consciously choosing it, or I would find myself kneeling down begging.
Yeah.
It was
not. It's funny how we think we have, you know, free will. We actually do, but it's if you get off the program, you sure get, you know, sent back. You know, those dead ends can really hit hard sometimes. You know, when you get out of that flow, the you know, I was curious. I saw one of the things that it looked like they gave you some messages about the Earth, maybe the future of the Earth, or some of the things coming down the pike. Do you have any information concerning that, or just what are your own feelings about how things are going to unfold?
When I was writing the Divine Principle, James, I would write between 6 and 12 hours a day. I'd wake up at 10 o'clock in the morning, turn on my computer, have some water, and I would not leave except to use the restroom or to get something to eat. And as I would sit there, sometimes information would come, and I would form a question around the information. But as this information would come, I would often have visions. It was multi-layered, the information multi-layered. Not only in the form of text, but it would come in the form of a vision. Sometimes it would come in the form of a knowing. I think, you know, this 2012 experience, being a musician and knowing how music moves and how energy, I just think there's just going to be a division. You know, mm-hmm. the parallel Earth. You know, whoever wants to continue in this level of consciousness, you will continue to move down that timeline. Mm-hmm. And those who are ready to shift in energy, you know, find themselves, you know, feeling a lot lighter.
Yeah, moving into a different frequency.
Absolutely.
We're having that happen here at the ranch. We've been teaching these self-mastery classes and Yigong classes and things like that. And in the classes, we're actually getting photographs of people phasing in and out. I have tons of photographs of people actually, you can see right through them. Or all of a sudden, their chair, they're gone. You know, then they return. And I think it's because we're on a vortex here and the energies are so high, the jump between worlds is very easy here. But
I've seen pictures of you. I'm sorry, there was a delay in the phone.
Oh, go ahead.
I've seen pictures of you, and was it a Tibetan monk that was at your house? And he was meditating, and some pictures were snapped, and I mean, everything just looks like it's just like the shutter was just open forever.
Yeah. Yeah, there's pictures of him vanishing, you know, just his whole body turned into a rainbow light body and just disappearing.
Right.
And that's Khan, actually. And he's a Japanese monk, and he spends a lot of his time in a cave doing some very ancient practices. And it's very easy for him to move between worlds. And what's funny is that he gets these awesome photographs here of like Kuan Yin and Mary and all these other masters appearing here on his cell phone, you know, because of his frequencies. I mean, they appear to him. He goes, and he pulls his phone out and goes, you know, gets him, takes a shot. It's amazing, you know, the photographs that he's been getting here, and they go very well with all the other paranormal things that happen here.
I also think, James, in the future, nearby, I think things are going to, things do exponentiate now. And I think the closer we get to that window and even beyond that window, you know, you probably have heard the story about the Tibetan monks that they collectively agree because they collectively see the same vision that somewhere between now and 2012, some monkey is going to put his finger on the button and push the button to start, you know, nuclear war, and craft are going to appear out of the sky everywhere all over the world. Mm-hmm. And they're going to shut the electrical grid of planet Earth down, and anyone can walk outside and they're going to see a craft hovering in the sky. They said that the people who are responsible for this act will be tried, all of them, and from that day forth the world will know then that we're not alone, and the world's going to exponentiate into a Christed place, heaven on earth, reality, within a matter of a few years.
That sounds good to me. You know, that's all the Lakota prophecies, everything. They talk about, you know, the beast, and the beast is folding in on itself. It's not going to be lasting much longer. And they, you know, they said that when it does, it's going to open the gates for all the, you know, our star nations to return, and everything's going to be, you know, cleaned up and healed very quickly. And then we jump into the golden age or whatever you want to call it. So, you know, that's my vision for the future. And then that's where I want to go with it. And I know what they've been telling me is that they're actually working right now, you know, with the grid, you know, with the consciousness grid here, with the physical earth itself, bouncing it out, changing the frequencies, cleaning out all that old psychometrized energy from the past, and helping usher the way in for this birth to happen, this major process to happen. So we're getting a lot of help out there.
Yeah, for sure. And a lot of help inside, in here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's all Buddha said, you know, it's all within you, it's all one. But you know what, I had an experience. They did reverse speech on me, and this huge golden ship flew over the ranch, and they asked me who I thought they were, and I said, I don't know, they feel like God beings to me, very, very powerful beings. And they did reverse speech on me, and I said, Sailor Vishnu is his name. And that just totally blew me away when that one came out. So I'm just seeing that all these, you know, ships, they used to call them Vimanas in India, it's all related with our ancient past, with our ancestors, everything. They're all, you know, all the star nations, we're all related. We're all one, and it's all going to be coming together here real soon.
I'm really looking forward to the unfoldment, to when the final puzzle piece is put in and we can see, I mean, all of it, you know, exactly how Egypt fits in there, exactly how the Mayan temple fits in there, exactly how just everything has just, you know, been around for so long. It's all just been unfolding, and I'm looking to see how this thing plays out, to be honest with you. And I think we're fortunate. We are very fortunate to live in this period. I mean, coming from the realms of bliss creation down to this physical dense place, to see the dance and dynamic of this energy just unfold, it's truly amazing.
Oh, yeah. It's you know, even the old biblical paintings, you know, the frescoes all over Europe have UFOs in them, you know. But a lot of Christians, you talk to me, go, oh, that's a devil. And I go, well, get into your ancient past, you know, it's all in there. So, you know, that's the thing, is that I think we're coming to an end of ignorance and an end of this separation game. And with the Mayan calendar, they talk about this March, the ninth wave coming in, which is unity consciousness. I think all this old greed and separation game is just going to fold in on itself real soon.
When you say ninth wave, do you mean in the form of a consciousness that's going to start falling into people's minds, or do you mean a wave of beings, or, well, I'm sure they're one and the same.
Yeah, it's basically a wave of energy that comes from galactic core. It's a huge wave of energy that collapses everything. It starts collapsing time. Everything starts happening exponentially really fast. Karma gets amplified, action, reaction, everything gets uncovered, you know, and surfaces. So it's like a huge event that starts in March, and then everything's going to unfold so fast that it'll be, and we're just going to have to let go and go with the flow, because it's going to be quite an adventure.
You know, James, when I do public speaking, when I do talks, I actually say exactly what you said, almost verbatim. It's very important in this period that you're living in to clear your stuff. Because as time goes by, your stuff's going to be harder to deal with, and it will likely manifest in a bigger way, in a way that is so big and so beyond your ability to even balance it. So while you still can balance your issues.
Yeah, before they come up and bite you. You know, unfortunately, we're out of time. So I wanted to make sure, do you have a website and the way people can get a hold of your books and everything?
I do, James. My website is thedivineprinciple.com. Click on the enter page. Go to the next page. There's an opt-in box. Put your name in there. It's a way of saying, hey, guy, I want my free gifts. Give it to you. You can reach me at info@thedivineprinciple.com. Again, my website is thedivineprinciple.com.
All right. Well, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. I mean, we've got a lot of similar experiences, and I'm sure we can probably make a 4-hour show out of this, but we're out of time, so we've got to sign off, unfortunately.
Well, James, I really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you and be on your wonderful program, and keep up the good work. Thank you.
All right. Okay. We'll be in touch.
Thank you, sir.
All right, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, signing off. Have a great evening, and watch the skies. They're here, and they are us.